All right, Lisa Gillis.
Here.
Eric Simon.
Here.
Beth Chang.
Here.
Carrie McLean.
Here.
Susan Charette.
Here.
Shannon Roberts. Lauren Behan.
Here.
Ellie Raitt. Okay, so we have a quorum. And I didn't receive any public comment. And we can go ahead and move on to the adoption of the meeting minutes. Were there any questions on those?
No? Okay, so do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
Who moved?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Yes.
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 Do we have to go around, like, we don't have to be as formal as the board. I'm getting very formal after listening to the board meeting. They go around the room and they all take, you know, individual. But I think we're okay.
I think we're okay, yeah. Okay, so minutes were approved. Okay. So we'll go on to the commissioner reports.
Does anybody want to go first?
Go first. I was able to connect with Renee Sicklow of the D90 Green for Good Club. They are all set for the Pumpkin Smash. They've already registered the event with Scarce, and it's going to be Saturday, November 7th from 9 to 12. Scarce did produce a flyer. And the only help that they need, you know, Lisa, just like you said, is with publicizing the event and making sure that folks know that it's happening and where to go. They are going to publicize it internally with D90. They're going to reach out to all the folks that do the newsletters for the three schools. And I know we've got this on deck for the November Village e-newsletter. So that's great. They've had the flyer all set though, but when would the copy need to be in for the Village newsletter?
And usually it's like, hold on. They usually actually done, and like, do you have the schedule from Sarah? I just know she usually reaches out like the last week of the month. So I would think that she the 26th.
Right. I was just going to say, you know, the last week of the month, but I don't know the exact day they always need the information.
Well, we can beat that because I think it's already pretty much set. And I think we need less notice for posts on social media. Is that right?
Correct. We just basically, like, you know, kind of send them to Sarah Pfeiffer.
Okay.
She works to get them out there. So if you want to send me the copy for, like, what you think we do for the e-newsletter, because we get two agenda items. And
yeah,
I'll find out what the other agenda item is that we're doing. Hold on one second. I can let you know when it's my turn. How's that?
That work? That works.
So that's awesome. I'm glad they're doing it. I'm assuming they're doing it in a socially distant way with masks and all that stuff.
They will. And I hope to go and, you know, take pictures and do whatever. I went in and looked up the District 90 newsletters for the previous years because they always report out how many pumpkins they smash. So in 2018, they did 486, and in 2019, they did 512. So they just keep ratcheting up every year. So that's great to see. Hopefully, they bust that 412 this year.
Yeah, we should incorporate that into the plan, because right now, that plan, we have pounds smashed, and that comes from. Strom, but we don't have the number of pumpkins. It would be good to add the number of pumpkins as well as the number of pounds, because I think the number of pumpkins is going up more than the number of pounds, which means that maybe our pumpkins are getting smaller over time.
That could be.
Well, I just have to add that I'm really excited that it's essentially become an annual thing, because the first year that it happened, it basically came out of the year in which we started student groups at the schools. And this was the kind of creative idea that, you know, came from the students themselves. And it certainly seemed like the kind of thing that would lend itself to becoming annual, but that's never a guarantee, but I'm glad to see it's continuing.
Yeah.
I think it helps to have D-Night, like to have, again, this is an example of, you know, a really cool project. We planted the seed, and then that, you know, with the parents and, you know, student populations keeping it going, that's pretty cool.
Totally. The other thing to mention, the how to get your community composting seminar, webinar, town hall, whatever you want to call it, round table, was Tuesday, September 29th. And although I missed it, they did record it and upload it to YouTube. So I was able to watch it after the fact with my daughters, which was really fun. They were into it. They also posted the slideshow, so I can share that if anyone is interested. They did a really good job. They had great talking points in their slides, which I think, you know, could probably be repurposed. They did a really nice job with the presentation. And really it kind of underscored for me how much work has been already done in this effort. A lot of the people that spoke were talking about really getting a composting program up and running from the beginning, you know, something new that they were trying to introduce in their community and get support for. And they talked about, you know, canvassing and speaking at board meetings and all those things. And I just had so much appreciation for all the work that the commission has done to get us to this point, to have a contract in place. Especially a curbside composting was something that I think she said only, I don't know, I think she said four communities in Illinois had something like this. A lot of the other communities or the different efforts that they were trying to stand up they were trying to work with little or no cost. So they had kind of like a bucket program where you would get what looked like a Home Depot bucket and you would fill it yourself at home and take it to a central deposit place in the town and dump your stuff in there. And I think there is a lot to that too, because it, you know, there, the cost is really minimal. So there were a lot of really interesting ideas that people threw out there. That was, you know, more than just the curbside composting that we have. So even though, I mean, God, so much of the heavy lift has already been done, there may be ways to, you know, continue to enhance the program. And it kind of got me thinking about, you know, when it comes to these, you know, drop-off locations, you know, is this something that we can look into, you know, when it comes to our parks and what people throw away at parks, if they're, you know, picnicking or they have snacks or something for, you know, a soccer game or a baseball game, you know, is there a central location that there's potential to put a shared compost bin that people could use? I don't know. It's just something to think about and maybe, you know, talk a little bit more offline to see what might be appropriate or feasible. But it was a really nice presentation that they gave.
Now what was the organization?
It was led by Seven Generations Ahead, but there were other affiliated organizations that okay. They mentioned, and I can't think of them off the top of my head, but I can get that for sure.
Yeah.
There is one, well, I mean, it's just the curbside, but there is one at the library, but they had to hide it because people are not very good at sorting, and they just found that there was, you know, all kinds of different things. So that's the real stumbling block is, once it's been compromised, then the whole thing is. And there's also one at, or maybe more than one at the depot. So that sort of serves Keystone Park.
Yeah. Oh, really? At the depot, inside the facility?
Inside the building? Outside.
Outside. Okay. Oh, you realize that. Oh, thanks. Susan, I didn't realize. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say that, while to your point there, it is compromised. It actually, it might not, you could argue that putting into the parks potentially kind of some sort of sorting station with instructions, even if they screw it up, it could be something for education purposes because it's all going to get thrown out anyway, in theory. So if you can say, okay, let's start sorting, as opposed to thinking of it, and this is an idea, it might be wacky, as opposed to thinking of it as a composting thing, thinking of it as an educational thing, like we do with sorted out stations, which quite frankly, I think most of the waste from sorted out stations ends up in the trash because we have sorting problems there too. And then we do this when we can, again, when we have events, zero waste. You know, it's more of an there we can at least monitor it. So there's a way of keeping it clean. But it is, it is something to, to have people kind of
start thinking about it. Think about it. About it,
even if they screw up.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, so that's, I think that's a great idea. All right. Thank you.
I'll share the links with folks in case anyone else is interested in viewing the materials or the video. It was really well done.
Yeah, that would be great if you could share it. That would be fun to watch. Yeah. And I'm glad you did it with your daughter.
Yeah. She was definitely into it, which is it's a nice activity for us.
Oh, good. All right. I am fine. I'm trying to find our editorial calendar, so I'll keep looking. So does anybody else want to go next?
I can go next. So let's see. The only thing I really report on is that the Parkway for Pollinate Gardens, the last gardens were installed last Friday. David actually ended up installing 21 this year because we had a goal to place 5 at institutions, either schools or churches, and several of them ended up at schools in churches, so I guess we hit both of those marks. Mosaic Montessori was the last one that went in on Friday. Concordia Early Childhood, Grace Lutheran School, Godet Children's Center at Dominican over at the Priory, and West Suburban Temple Preschool. So I'm not exactly sure what happened, but the 21st was at Sugar Beet, and I think David got a little out ahead of there were a couple of institutions that fell through and he thought we weren't going to place them, and I kind of was keep working on the side. So I guess he had somehow in the course of that promise one to Cheryl Munoz, and so they reached a compromise and she paid for the plants and he donated some labor. So that is finished. And John, he will be sending the final invoice, which I will forward to you. And then Planet Green's September meeting was postponed to October, so don't have anything to report there.
How many gardens were planted total, Susan? So
if you count Sugar Beet, then there was 21.
21. Okay, thanks.
I don't really have too much to report on. The tree trail stuff I'll save for later on the agenda, and maybe just on Shannon's behalf, I'll just say that she's continuing to chip away at the inventory and completing that for the multiple years. And so hopefully by the next meeting, we'll have something more to share on that.
Yeah, I think she's been working really hard on that. And thank you, John, for getting the information on Strom, because we didn't know it existed. Sure. Except for that picture that I forwarded to you from Julie. So we're glad to
know. For some reason I thought I had sent that earlier, but if I didn't, I get that at the beginning of every year.
Yeah. And maybe you did and we were just like overwhelmed with other things. So
maybe, yeah.
Well, I'll go. Thank you, Susan, for sending along that flyer that you found. That was nice. Susan sent me, it was a Meatless Monday flyer And it was a simple one. It just said, go Meatless Mondays. It's good for you and good for the planet. So I've gotten I've been pulling together some points of what I think are, I don't know how much information should go on this, but what I don't, and I don't want to go too far until I know if any of these students want to be involved, because I don't want things to be like done and then, or, you know, on their way to being done. So I was sort of waiting to see if there were going to be, and I couldn't quite understand when they were coming, the next meeting, or I wasn't sure about that time frame.
Yeah.
Do you know, Lisa?
We're going to vote on that tonight, because you informed me that we need to vote on it before we can move forward, so.
Oh, I see, okay. But I did reach out to Cheryl also from Sugar Beet, and she's, you know, she does a lot of stuff like this anyways and works with the schools. So once I have flyers, that's when I really want to get out to the restaurants or Fresh, you know, Time to see what they might do. I did get, did you forward me that they're doing something with the Chicago Sun-Times? Fresh Time is sponsoring something that looked really interesting. I didn't read the article, but I noticed that I think they might be open to doing something. And then I'm in the process of drafting a letter to the Green Lawn people to see if I can forward their emails simply to the big database so they can get monthly newsletters. So, but I feel like nothing needs to be done with that until the spring also, so, right? You know, that's when we kind of.
I think when it comes to sending, if we're sending anything to the, and you and I can talk offline about this, but if we're sending anything to people that are on our list for Healthy Lawns, Healthy Family, we just need to get their permission.
Yeah.
Or their email to, you know, or basically just, again, we can, as long as we BCC everybody, forward a newsletter from Midwest Grows Green and ask them and have them opt in themselves. We could ask Ryan to craft an email that we send on behalf of Midwest Grows Green, and then they can opt in if they want to continue to receive the newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to be careful because we can't give the email addresses we have for the residents that we've collected, I don't believe anyway, without their permission.
Right.
Again, we could forward something from Ryan, if you want to do something from Ryan Anderson, have him craft something about, if you'd like to, you know, welcome Healthy Lawn, Healthy Family people from River Forest, if you'd like to sign up for the Midwest Grows Green newsletter, this is all, you know, this is how you would do it. Mm-hmm. And then we could forward it, you know, you could say a note, you know, from the River Forest Sustainability, from Midwest Grows Green, who sponsors, you know, and supports our Healthy Lawn, Healthy Family program, and then you can go from there.
Yeah, I was, anybody new, I want it to be an automatic opt-in to share their email address with them, because I think it's such good information that they give out, and not to have anything special to do just for the Village of River Forest, if that's possible, and try to get as many of our existing people to respond. I know that's hard, yeah. But that's what I'm hoping.
We can talk separately. We'd have to update the opt-in language on the website, on the River Forest website, to say that we will give your email to, and again, I think we'd have to work through that if that's something that the village is comfortable doing.
Mm-hmm.
But no, anything's possible. We just have to work through the, we have to work through data privacy issues related to the emails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sounds great.
That's all.
Carry on the Meatless Monday. There's lots of other information on that website too. So one thing they could do if they wanted to would be, post things on social. There's all kinds of recipes and other. And so just another avenue they could take with that same website.
Yeah. I was kind of waiting to see who might be on that little team and see, and then have them do some of those things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Eric, do you
want to
go?
Yeah, really quickly, everything's been pretty quiet. As you guys know, usually I have meetings, for the various energy committees and stuff like that. Actually, the first Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus Energy Subcommittee meeting is coming up this month, October 20th. So I'll report back on that at our November meeting, but this month I didn't attend anything, so I will pass.
Okay. Well, I can go. I know I did a couple things. One is I think I all copied you into the fact that we did win that award. I was all excited because, you know, when I first started the whole award thing with the Metropolitan Reclamation Water District, I really thought it was a money attached. But then I did realize before I submitted that it was just an award. But the good news is we won the award. So I need to let the folks know tomorrow who can attend the meeting. And I should have that handy for everybody. Hold on. I think it's easier to do it on my phone sometimes. Basically, it's a virtual award ceremony on the 21st of October at 11 o'clock. So John, thank you. I know that you're going to be attending, so I thank you for that. Does anybody else want to join?
I got to look at my calendar, Lisa.
Okay.
If I'm free, I'd be happy to join.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to try to be there. We do need Joe. If you are joining, they want our kind of face shots. So, John, I'm going to need your picture.
Can you put John's picture for me too if I attend?
Sure, sure. We'd love to do that. We'll do headshots for everybody.
And do we have to remotely wear tuxes?
I think we might have to.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I don't mind at all.
I think that would be fun, but yes. So I will send out the information, but yeah, Eric, if you can let me know if you can join, otherwise John and I will go.
Only on the top half, Eric.
Well, I mean, it is Zoom, just like right now, Beth.
Very funny. And John did send me, and I'm trying to find it to share it, is the Julie Moeller composting station is up and looks really, really nice. John, you don't happen to have a picture of it handy. Otherwise, I'll keep looking.
I don't. I wouldn't be able to bring it up on this device that I'm on. Sorry.
We should all drive by and take a look. Did you send it to a picture to Julie?
No, I haven't done anything. I just saw it and I'm like, isn't that cute? And it was, I've just been a little bit, again, busy trying to juggle kind of work and some other things. So unfortunately it has not been, I just haven't been able to kind of do it. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. Otherwise I will forward to you all after the meeting, but it actually came out pretty nice. I think Julie would be really happy with it. That's it. I was interviewed by students from Dominican University. They're taking a class on climate change and they were told they had to speak to somebody who works in government. So I was the closest they got. there was two young women. They were very, they asked some really thought-provoking questions, quite frankly. And they did film it, which was kind of horrifying for first thing in the morning. But then it did force me to, they wanted a copy of the Sustainability Commission plan. That's why I pushed to get that up on the website, because I felt that I didn't feel comfortable sending them the plan directly. I thought, though, that we had talked about putting on the website, that would be the best way for us to kind of share it out. So that's that. Yeah, that's all I've got. So I think that covers everybody from a did we get everybody from a commission perspective? One thing I will say, just to double back, I did find out, Lauren, that the thing that I put on the editorial calendar when I was feeling very ambitious, but I think that we might be able to cover it up, is we're doing a Home for the Holidays recycling and reusing. So some sort of tips and tricks with regard to, with Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah and all the other year-end holidays, both religious and not, on the horizon, that thinking about, kind of how to you know, kind of still be cognizant of, you know, reduce, recycle, reuse would be a good thing. So I'll see if I can pull something like that together to go with then the pumpkin smash.
Okay.
They always would love to cover, again, optimize our outreach via those, that channel. And we're allowed, again, two topics. So two topics we shall give them.
Perfect.
Okay. Hold on. All right, Beth, you're up now because we did give you prime time for River Forest Tree Cows in the news.
Okay. Well, hopefully it will be in the journal tomorrow. I have to say that I had a good conversation with the reporter last week after I snagged her attention with some photos. And then I know she followed up with at least one of the residents who did it. But I don't know if she followed up with Ellie, and I really wanted her to talk to Ellie. But basically we did draw a winner at the end of September, and then decided to basically, thanks to Lisa, offer a second drawing by the end of October. So, you know, keep up the sort of promotion of it. I don't know if any of you got to see, you know, we had great help from Sarah putting stuff up. And if you haven't seen it on the website, I just have to show it to you because it's so adorable. Well, let's see if I can do this. Okay, can everyone see that? Does everyone see this? The girl in the middle, that's Arabella Scott, and she was the winner of the compost. And the way the picture is in there, you can't exactly see, but this red bud tree in the back was her favorite. And then there were a couple other families that sent photos. This cute young girl hugging a tree. And these two kids, actually, they also had a really cute picture hugging a tree and some other really cute pictures with their dad and a measuring tape and all the things that, you know, we wanted people to be doing. But I thought it was good to show this picture of the chalk drawing, you know, hopefully inspire people with what they should be doing. And so what happened is I just sent these pictures to the reporter and said, well, I've got some pictures that haven't been published yet. And that was what finally got her to call me back. So we'll see how the article turns out. I gave her probably way more material than she could possibly use. But besides the photos, we have a few responses on the survey that we asked people to fill out, saying basically that, you know, it did what we wanted it to do, which is open their eyes to the diversity of trees on their blocks, as well as giving people something really fun to do right during this challenging time. So I gave all of that stuff to the reporter, and I'll see how much shows up in the article. And if not that much shows up in it, I guess maybe by next meeting I can compile for the group. It's really gratifying to just, I don't know, there's something about seeing the actual sheets that people fill out. It's all on the Google Drive. Lauren was great about helping to upload on those things. Thank you, Lauren. If you have a minute to take a peek, it makes it real, right? When you see their handwriting and identifying the different types of trees. There was a little feedback about was there some way to make the map easier to use? And, you know, John, I know that the map is probably what it is, and it's a pretty huge feat, but for using it for an activity like this, it was a little challenging for people, I guess. I would say the other thing about talking to the reporter, kind of like Lisa speaking with the people who wanted to interview her, is it forced me to sort of think about my elevator speech for why did we do this? And I gave a little preview of the idea that we basically have this goal to inventory and understand and try to reduce or mitigate our emissions. And the trees are an important source of being able to store and offset carbon, but also that trees have these other ecosystem benefits, right? They provide shade and reduce our energy costs. They soak up stormwater, reduce flood risks. And that we picked this particular activity as a way to give people something fun to do instead of block parties. And she was very interested in the student commissioner angle. So I hope that she does talk to Ellie, but I also thought this was a good kind of learning experience for me and for Ellie about just the persistence that it takes for this next stage, right? After we create activities to get people to do it. So actually, now that I think about it, I'm not sure that since extending the deadline that we've had any new entries submitted. You would probably have seen them, Lauren, if they did. I was hoping the students who did it at the school would be required by their teachers to submit it. And I've asked Ellie to reach out to the teachers to see if she can get them to do that. But otherwise, I guess we did make an executive decision to re-enter people from the September drawing. I mean, it wasn't a huge number of people who turned it in. I mean, it was like five, but I don't know. I just it makes me smile so much seeing these pictures and knowing that we made a real difference in a few people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, for a cost of $120, I think that it's an investment that's worth it. And what it also does is I think it gives some, you know, give some PR to the, you know, to the curbside composting program. So I think that's good.
Oh, yes, that's true. And I will say that the winner specifically said that they had been kind of talking about doing the composting for a year or so and just on the fence about it. And so hopefully, you know, this kind of pushes them over the top on that. And Lauren, I did sort of say after they get their bins delivered that if they wanted any sort of like, you know, user help with getting used to the composting that they could reach out. And we did, there were also a bunch of posts on the hashtag RF Tree Trails. They didn't necessarily turn their entries in to the website address, but I'm pretty sure that there are Lisa counted them. There's more pictures than
we have three more. We have a couple more than last time.
Yeah, there's here's the Instagram page, right? Some people just posted pictures of the trees, not necessarily with people in them. But that tells us, I guess, that more people are doing it, you know, and posted it, but we just didn't get names and addresses through the Instagram postings to be able to include them in the drawing. I actually really love this picture, that kind of angle on it.
Yeah, did you tell the Wednesday Journal that the deadline was being extended?
I did. They're supposed to put that in there. I'm always a little nervous about newspaper stories because you just don't know how it ends up, you know, turning out. But I did ask her to highlight that for us. So, you know, watch for it. Hopefully it'll come out tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, Beth, the other thing is that, you know, even though, you know, it appears that, you know, there were, you know, a handful of people who did it, this sort of activity doesn't expire.
And yes,
it will be, you know, reinvented, and not reinvented, but it'll be kind of reintroduced, I'm sure, in a new way with, you know, the tree starting to bud and all that. So I think it's great.
And keep in mind, our goal this year was to pilot this program, you know, to kind of take over or take the place of the Pollinator for Parkway program in Green Block Party. So it is something that next year we will kind of, you know, connect it to the Green Block Party and try to work to, you know, kind of get folks excited about, you know, trees in that way. Okay. And well, you know, again, I'm hoping that we're kind of done with this pandemic by then. The pandemic, because I'm kind of done with it.
Yeah.
Not because of us, but I'm done with it. Okay, the next thing, I'm gonna save the budget recommendation conversation for last. But I mean, two other things that I just wanted to kind of talk about. One is the student commissioners. We did this year we had one commissioner. Last year it was kind of like, you know, we just. You know, Julie and I had talked about it after a Dominican conversation. You know, we had this vision of having a commissioner from each of the schools and they'd all work together. It was very grand. And we had one person that actually applied and that was Ellie. So she's part of it. So as you all know, when we did, I gave an update to the trustees back in June or July. The one thing that, you know, they had asked is there any way to kind of expand the program, right? So we did, again, we never said a student commissioner would be a commissioner for life. It was always going to be a one-year term. So we did kind of we did like we now do for most of our programs. We put it in the e-newsletter, and then we did two Instagram posts. We had four kids. One is Charlotte Meyer, who basically some of you might know because she was in eighth grade. She and her her friend handcrafted recyclable kind of snack bags to get and sold them to Roosevelt Middle School and basically donated the money to the Sustainability Commission. Kathy Adusi then declared July 9th as, you know, their day. And then in 2019, we had a conversation with the businesses. We invited all businesses and we had about, eight businesses that came to a meeting on July 9th. And Charlotte Myers was there to talk about, you know, how can we, you know, as a village, really make a difference and probably reduce and our use of single-use plastic. So Charlotte Myers has, raised her hand to join us, as did Ellie Raitt for another term. And then we had two other folks. So what we need to do and is to, I guess, I have to put forth a motion that we expand the program to four. And we went back and forth. I believe I solicited feedback from all of you in terms of, you know, I think that, having one-on-one, having four commissioners and four student commissioners and four commissioners and expected them to work together is probably a little bit much. I did explore with Ellie if she wanted to lead the student commissioner team and, you know, kind of, and just make them a pod to do work. And she would rather not take on that responsibility. And then Lauren, I think, put on the table, why not two teams of two, which I think makes the most sense, because then what happens is they kind of build some camaraderie amongst themselves. And then I think it's just probably easier for us as the adults to kind of direct them. And I do have two potential assignments. I'd like to offer them three so they they have to kind of split into pods of two or teams of two. And then if we can get them to pick kind of what they want to do, one is to work on Meatless Mondays. One is to work on composting. Another thing could be to potentially think about how do we take the Riverhurst tree trails and maybe get some volunteers that would go to block parties help kind of show people how to do it. I don't know. That's just something I kind of made up. I don't think we necessarily have to have, again, we have two, I think, Lauren, I know you had mentioned for composting, having somebody help with maybe some videoing. Carrie had mentioned wanting someone to help with Meatless Mondays. If anybody else has any thoughts on how to kind of channel these students, that would be great. But then we'd pair them up, that team of two, with one commissioner or two commissioners, and then, you know, we kind of see how it plays out. So that's kind of the vision. But the first thing we have to do is we have to kind of approve going from, and again, last year we didn't vote on any of them, but we're going to do it this year and do it right, that we want to approve having four student commissioners join our ranks for the 2020-21 season. So technically we had said in the materials it was October 1st through September 30th. I did last week tell them we were a bit delayed in reviewing applications and having a conversation amongst us in terms of our wanting to take on four. So I guess that my motion is that we accept all four.
Lisa, how old are they?
They're all in high school, and I think they're all from OPRF.
Second the motion.
We have a motion. Carrie, motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, so are we all okay with this? I'll say yes.
Yes.
Okay, so I think then the motion passes. Then the second thing is, again, we again have two ideas for their participation. I do think we're gonna have to kind of say, here's door number one, door number two, because I think unless we kind of direct them, I think it might get a little unwieldy for us. So if you have a third option, because again, having them select a little bit, or three or four would be ideal. So let me know. Okay, thank you for that. The second thing is, I know that we're all very, very busy So one of the things on here is the cadence of our meetings. And I'm just going to put it out there. We've always met, and again, I don't know, you know, again, at this, obviously, I just joined last year. We've met monthly. And every once in a while, if it's like August and everybody's gone, we skip a month. My question to all you is, does that cadence continue to work for you? Or do we want to explore it every other month? Cadence for our meetings in terms of us getting together on Zoom. Now we need to get together on Zoom in order to meet all of us together because we are subject to the Open Meetings Act, which means that we can't have a dialogue with any more than two of us given our size. But you know, certainly I want to be respectful that we are a working board and all the effort we do, actually the amount of work that most of us do outside of these meetings kind of dwarfs what we do in the meetings. So I just wanted to put on the table and see if anybody had any points of view.
I'll start. I could go either way. I do enjoy the monthly meeting because I feel like it keeps me focused and on task. So you know I don't have any concerns about a monthly, but if it's every other month, that's all good too. So I'm fine either way.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little bit inclined to stay mostly monthly, but you know, like you said, August and maybe you know. Skip December, and if there's another month that seems like it, and I would be in favor of keeping them monthly, but keeping them shorter, right? I think it's tough when they run for like 2 hours. I think we all start to flag, and if you keep them more frequent, maybe we would be able to keep them shorter. But I do feel like it kind of keeps me on track or something.
I agree with the with kind of the running dialogue here. I think 10 a year, you know, at 90 minutes, I think is a really good, you know, kind of a really good pace if we could hit that. You know, if we did every other month, it'd just be too, there'd be just such big gaps between, I know it, for me, at least personally, it would be tough to kind of know what's going on because we don't talk outside of these meetings much.
Okay, I just wanted to check in and make sure that that you know everybody, you know that I gathered your feedback.
Okay. Thank you for that, Lisa.
Anytime. That's what we're here for. Because you know, again, I think it's always been monthly, and I don't know if there's ever been any sort of validation if that makes sense. I mean, I agree that monthly does keep me on my toes, and again, striving to. You know, perhaps take a lot of the, maybe what we can do to make sure that we keep it to 90 minutes is, you know, keep the commissioner reports to kind of interactions with the community and then take any sort of working that we might be doing. Again, I can meet one-on-one with anybody. And then we just need to make sure we keep it to one-on-one, you know, because again, of the Open Meetings Act, which, and that's why I'm sure you see, I do BCC you on stuff. So that you're informed. I think it's a good way to inform and you can't reply because that wouldn't be appropriate. Okay, next is the budget recommendation. I can share my screen. I can share my screen because I have it here from the meeting packet. So let me share. At least I'm going to try to share. I don't think it knows what to do. Okay, let me see. I don't think it likes that. Let me try to share again. It doesn't like my sharing.
Lisa, is it the Google Doc or is it a thing you've made?
Or maybe, no, it's actually, I actually included it. I don't know why I can't share. It's not letting me share. It is basically, I sent out a kind of a summary in the meeting packet.
Okay, because let me share. Hang on.
If you can share, that would be awesome, because I can't for some reason.
Just give me one sec.
I mean, I had asked while you're sharing, I had asked everybody to weigh in. And we did get, I actually did this last week. And then today I got some additional feedback that I wasn't able to put, you know, obviously it didn't go into the packet, but it is something that we can all talk about. What we had talked about doing was providing feedback on all of the ideas that were put in the, on Google Drive. And then what I did is I kind of ranked, here we go. I ranked the top, what commissioners had ranked as their top. Some of you were very specific in your ranking. Some of you, I just had a kind of.
So I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm sharing my screen because I didn't know how to not share it. But once I got in there, so.
That's perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Perfect, thank you. So if you can just go to the next page, I mean, I think we can, this is the gist of it. We've all, you know, and again, you have kind of the results, you have the individual feedback from all the commissioners. I think some things that we need to consider, and here are my considerations, and what I'd like to do is perhaps once I speak, we can go around the room and each take a turn. But I think the River Forest Tree Trails, which everybody thought was a great idea, we should actually just, you know, kind of take care of that. Again, it's $120 in total. It's $20 a month for 3 months. For two people. I believe that's already covered in the existing budget. John, can you confirm that? Is that something we can cover?
Right. That's fine. That's something you can cover in the budget as it is.
Thank you. That's what I thought. But like, I didn't want to be a big spender without checking with you. You have to keep me on the right side here. Then I also think that the actions should drive long-term benefit for the village overall, while also helping to fulfill our mission. Our mission is pretty darn strict. It's reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And gosh, you know what, like Shannon's been working really hard on measurement. She wants to share with us next month the results. And if we think about what we did last February and the fact that we started measuring and where we are today, you're gonna be blown away. And I think we have to really keep focused on what that mission is. I also believe, and I'm not a religious person, but I think this works. If you give a person a fish, he or she eats for a day. If you teach a person to fish, he or she eats for a lifetime. So I think education is a better use of funds than subsidies. Subsidies kind of come and go, and I'm not quite sure that that kind of achieves our end goal. I would rather not use funds as a surrogate for grant revenue if we can help it. That said, I know that our predecessors really did a great job on finding grants and, you know, submitting grants. And we just need to kind of get... I think if we find the grant opportunities, I think we have a good story as demonstrated by the award that we got from the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District. And I think that we, you know, could, we have a document pulled together. It's something that I think we can continue to use, but we just need to find those and try to use those grants as opposed to just using the funds. And I think we have to remember that our fiscal year is May 1st to April 30th, and our MC squared budget, they're committed for 2 years. So we're expected to get $36,000 this year and $36,000 next year, but we don't necessarily have to spend it all at once. I did confirm with John and that we can use it at our discretion, and we would rely on the village. And
Hey Lisa, when you say at our discretion, can we roll it over year to year?
That's what I believe it means. For John, can you, is that
right?
Heard that correctly?
Right. So it would be different than an operating budget. We would just have to know ahead of time, you know, if it weren't going to be spent in that year, and that way we could just make a note of it and finance is aware of it.
Thank you.
So that's good news for us, right? So this is kind of just a Parajack's recommendation. Is focus on education, composting. We've done a lot with curbside composting. We could kind of explore backyard composting. I still think there's a lot of, and Lauren has, you know, kind of confirmed that there is still a lot of confusion on composting and how do you sort and where do you sort. So I think that's an opportunity. Meatless Mondays, where there's passion amongst, you know, Carrie's, you know, kind of running with that. I think that is something that we can do specifically with very little outlay, quite frankly. And something that I think the student commissioners will like, brown energy versus green energy. I still think there's some confusion with regard to MC squared and what that means, and how that, you know, and why ComEd versus MC squared. We could talk about ComEd and NICOR energy reduction services. I think we just have to be careful that we're not seen as, we're not promoting. I mean, so we certainly can say, here are some services that you can use, but I think we have to be subcognizant that we just took a lot of people and switched them from ComEd to MC squared. And then you have NICOR, and I don't want to be seen like I'm not promoting ComEd or NICOR. I will certainly say, here are some ways that if you're using these services, how you can reduce your costs with them. Heck, I can get my husband to come on and talk about how he gamifies all of our energy use with ComEd. I still am a big fan of hiring someone from the GR Corps member to do the heavy lifting with regard to some of this education programming. We are a volunteer group, and we do have limited capacity, as does the village right now, particularly during this time of COVID. So extra arms and legs would be helpful. I know one of the big considerations here is who do they report into, because I know John has, John Anderson, Jonathan Pape, Sarah Pfeiffer, they're all pretty tapped right now. And then of course, it's kind of nice to have a cushion. So if we can't find grant revenue, for example, for Pollinator for Parkway program, and that's a very good program that, you know, we seem to be doing well, and actually it does help us with grants potentially. And, you know, again, it could help us get the grant revenue. You know, the program kind of fuels our future. And we certainly, you know, can't be against doing something like that as necessary. So that's my kind of where I've netted. So I open the floor to anybody that would like to provide a perspective.
On the ComEd and NICOR, are you referring to their energy efficiency program?
I am.
Okay. Because I know that's sort of promoted as a free program, but everybody pays a tax which funds that. So I don't think we need to feel any, I don't think probably even the people on MC squared are still paying their tax because it's being delivered by ComEd. So I don't think we have to feel awkward about utilizing a program that we all pay for.
Okay. Comments, Susan? Eric, do you have any thoughts? Not that I want to pick on everybody, but I'm going to pick on everybody.
No worries, I'm pulling up my notes from this.
I mean, one thing to note is once we pull this together, we do have to then create a present, you know, we have to create a recommendation that would go in front of the board. They don't have to, you know, and obviously we'd have to make our case for why we want to use the funds the way we want to use them, and then they would have to get approved by the board of trustees, since we are accountable up to the board.
I guess my one other comment is that other than the GRC intern, none of these seem like very costly programs to, you know, to add up to $72,000.
Well, we don't have to use it all in 1 year, which is a key thing. I think that we can do the GRC intern over multiple years. And again, that's just my perspective. I'm just being, I guess, maybe a little frugal. And that's a good point to push me or push us to being a little bit more aggressive.
Well, I'm just thinking if our proposal isn't scaled to the, you know, to the budget, then it seems like this is, you know, basically the rest of it is, oh, I don't know how that would be interpreted, but.
No, I like, it's a good push, Susan, thank you.
Yeah, you know, the only comment I would make, which is just more general, is we should spend this money to make things easier, not harder on us. I think this list does that relatively well, but I do get worried on any kind of initiative that's a new initiative that we're creating just to spend money. Since we already, I think, struggle to kind of complete what our core mission and goals are. So that's just more of kind of a general lens that I put on, you know, everything that was on that list.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'll say first, Lisa, thank you for boiling everything down in this way, because I think it's a really useful framework. And if you could scroll back down to the page with the, so the considerations and recommendations. I mean, I think it's that hiring a GR Corps member is probably the best way to expand capacity, although somebody does have to supervise that person and all of that. But, and that's also sort of the biggest ticket item in terms of dollars. It's great to know that the funds don't have to be used in the year they were received, because I think one concern was that we probably wouldn't be able to apply for that until like the next cycle, like we missed the fall application cycle. So that could be a ways off. Maybe one thing that would help as you take this to the next stage of formulating it for village approval is to actually try to put it in the form of a budget, because then we would have to really see and say, oh, okay, $18,000 for this, and then, you know, what, I mean, I guess you could just put all the rest of it in this big bucket around education, but I guess I would say if it seems like we have funds that are, need to be, still need to be spent or something, is, I don't know, I go back to some of those ideas that basically kind of give back some of the money to the residents, even though it's a temporary subsidy, which I understand has certain dangers associated with it. But, you know, if we can somehow use it, leverage it to get more people to sign up for composting and build a new habit over the course of 2 years, right? Or leverage it to get more people to plant and take care of their own pollinator gardens by, you know, providing a limited number of plants or something like that, starter plants. I'm not really sure what it is, but I think from a PR point of view, it would be nice for residents to feel like they're having some kind of opportunity to sort of directly benefit. And I know once you go down that road, you can't subsidize, then the pot of money becomes small, you know, relative to what you can really do. I think I saw an idea on there about, you know, incentivizing people to do permeable pavers and, you know, gardens, compost. You can't do it for everybody. So that I guess is the problem with that. But I would just put that back on the table, I guess. It's something that residents can see they directly have a chance to benefit from the funds.
You know, I was kind of thinking, you know, we know what our sphere is looking to do. But, you know, thinking about that, you know, we're also going to need to be presenting these options to the board, trying to take into account what are the main, what are their main goals? What are the things that they're, you know, also trying to tackle? And, I'm not sure how much of an issue this is on their priority list, but for a while there was a lot of talk about, the water diversion. And, you know, I think that maybe something that the board is interested in, just because they hear from the residents, you know, during those times of the year where we're sandbagging Des Plaines River and, you know, people's basements are flooding. And maybe this year was just, you know, a wacky one, but I do, you know, also believe in climate change. So, you know, I think we'll have more wacky years coming. But I am cognizant that, you know, although I like that as an idea to subsidize people putting in permeable pavers as opposed to
you know, re-cementing their driveway, that's not really something that I think our commission has been able to put a lot of time into investigating. So, you know, that would be a work effort to sort out, you know, what that would look like. But I do like that one.
Yeah, no, we're right. I mean, the whole water mitigation is a big issue right now. I mean, the board has approved the creation of a plan to kind of pull together, I think, to really just relook at water. And actually, John, maybe you could speak to the plan just to make sure everybody's aware that at this point in time, I personally think until the plan is done, I'm not quite sure there's much for us to do. But John, can you
speak? Well, right. So the board approved going out for RFP for our stormwater master plan. That would look at all the village infrastructure and policies and procedures regarding how people can redevelop their property. And if possibly new stormwater ordinance would have to be put in place with a fee for stormwater. That's something that's going to be considered, but they'll also mostly look at the sewer system, what kind of permeable solutions wouldn't be needed to help out in the future. They could also be looking at private property, though. And I mean, I see one of the ideas on here to encourage people to put rain gardens, that kind of thing, in their private property. That seems like a pretty good idea because, as Lauren was saying, we do get a lot of people that have flooding issues in their yard. We give them advice, we tell them here's a few things that could help out, but we don't have a program to help them pay for any of that. Whereas on the other hand, if they get sewer backup, we do have a program to help them put in check valve or overhead sewer, that kind of thing. So having another option for them to turn to, maybe it's a subsidy of we pay half the cost or we pay up to a certain amount for them to put in a rain garden to alleviate some yard flooding. That could be beneficial, and it could be something that would that would be part of the goals of the commission as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that might be actually more just more feasible from a budget perspective.
Well, yeah, I mean if you're looking to use the money, the $36,000 each year, I think a lot of people, of course, it's dependent on the weather, right? Like I'm thinking this year, a lot of people would have gone for something like that. And in past years, when we didn't get a ton of downpours, maybe not a lot of people would look into it. But they are not, a lot of these are not inexpensive solutions. Mm-hmm. So if you're paying half the cost on something that costs a lot of money, yeah, it could be expensive, but it could help people out a lot too.
Yeah, and I will say, and in full disclosure, as somebody who is thinking about doing something like that, that what could also be really helpful to residents is even providing like an hour or two of like consulting time with somebody who can say, oh well, you know, where should you plant your rain garden and what should you plant? I mean, that is I think stumbling block to the actual implementation of these ideas is people just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
You know, one thing that I see in this is a lot of education focus and composting, but I don't see any money. I don't see marketing, which I think the couple times that we've talked about it, we struggle with, and it costs money to market, right? Or how do you market something? How do you educate people? How do you do that? And the only ways that we have been doing it is through Instagram and the website. But I don't know if this this core member, the GR core member, would work with that, or I wasn't quite sure what that person would actually do for the $18,000 a year. You know, so, but I, you know, I mean, whatever we want them to do, or they would tell us what they were gonna do. But also, like with rain gardens, like I planted a couple swamp oak trees in my yard, and I got them from Possibility Place down south in Illinois, and they were $25 each for a 5-foot tree, and it's grown like 3 feet in the last year and a half. So I think we could even do something, I don't know, I love composting and I love the thought of trees and incentives, or just these. I think the tree thing was really good, and to give away 3 months of composting. I thought that was such a great thing to incentivize people. So I don't know, but there's no marketing money here and we might need that.
Actually, that's a really good point, Carrie. Thanks for bringing that up. And I think it's clear that, you know, you do need a talented graphic capability and, you know, marketing slash communication, because without the volunteer graphic designer that Lisa found, the tree trails would have remained like a really cool idea. But Ellie and, you know, I have kind of really limited graphic abilities, but to turn it into something that engages people, I think that's a really good point. And it's easy for budget to be spent on, you know, somebody with that expertise. It definitely costs money.
Okay, thank you. Any other thoughts?
Well, just that I wouldn't necessarily get rid of the umbrella of the education, but maybe it's a matter of kind of line iteming it out a little bit to say, well, what's involved in that? It, you know, it includes creating the educational experience and, you know, having a graphic designer, having a marketing plan to go with these things too.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah, I think we just need to flesh some of these out a little bit more, which I know was the plan anyways, but, you know, the GR Corps, you know, Corps member, I don't know who's gonna, like, that person needs to be managed, like, constantly. And I have no idea who, it would have to be one of us. The village isn't gonna manage another employee. You know, so that sounds really good on paper to me, but really hard to execute. And I probably have similar concerns with some of these others. I think, you know, like the marketing conversation that I think Carrie brought up and Beth continued, I think is a really interesting high level spend that might help with all of this, because one of the concerns I articulated to Lisa earlier, not at this meeting, when I put my notes very late into this, is that I worry about our messaging. You know, like when I saw Meatless Mondays, I'm like, I mean, that's fantastic. Like, but like, holy shit, we have so many messages, and we're not good at getting them out there. Yeah. We have very few mediums in order to communicate our messages, and people just stop listening after, you know, your third or fourth, you know, green this, green that. So like, I think a really good spend would be, you know, hiring a local marketing person to build us, not anything complicated, but a very simple kind of marketing and messaging plan and platform. Wouldn't cost very much money, but that we can use for years on how we kind of distill this whole vision we have and all these goals we have as a commission to something that our neighbors and the residents of River Forest can understand what it is that we do. I feel like there's some foundational work that we should probably spend some money on, mm-hmm. so that things like this better kind of fit in?
And I don't know. I mean, I know the village has a website, but could there, would, should we have our own website?
Well, we're part of the village, so I would go on record saying I probably not.
Well, a link to something. Like that Meatless Monday that I could forward that to everyone. That website, it's fun and it's engaging and there's recipes on it. And it's much more, I mean, like I should be an Instagram person, but I'm not an Instagram person. And I don't like getting all of my information from a phone, you know, or, you know, so, but that it's just was a fun and engaging kind of thing. And whether, I don't know, whether it's under the umbrella of the village website, but even composting or ideas or education, I mean, I feel like we could do a lot with that if we had a different platform than just Instagram.
So to kind of build on that, Carrie, like, I feel like that's, so when you ask that question, to me, that's a rhetorical question, and, you know, because I'm not sure, maybe there's maybe somebody on this call, I mean, Lisa's in marketing. So to me, this is why you spend $5,000 or $8,000 or $10,000 for someone to help us answer those questions. Because we could talk all day about, by the way, like demographically, we're probably not the best group also to be making decisions on a certain part of the marketing. You know, so I just feel like, we need help.
Well, there the thing that's left out of this conversation is there are Facebook groups that have very large membership, and I think it's a really good way to get information out. We just have to, you know, talk amongst ourselves about what's the best way to do that.
I totally agree, Susan, and nobody under 40 is on Facebook. So we can't forget that either.
I don't know that that's strictly true, because I know this is a way that parents stay in touch with each other. I know that's a very active Facebook group. I don't know that they're all over 40. I mean, I understand what you're saying, that my understanding is of Facebook is just that people use it differently now than initially. Like, I agree, you know, we're not all on there like sharing our photos and everything, but I think the groups are the one aspect of Facebook that has survived and is a really good way. I mean, you know, I know that very younger people are on Instagram, but I feel like, you know, people, I don't know, maybe over 40 or over 45 are not very active on Instagram. So there's no reason not to include things there, but I do see very active conversations and on Facebook. And just when I'm out and about, I hear people referring to the issues and conversations that have been. And, you know, just referring to the Parkways for Pollinator Gardens, that was advertised via the newsletter, via the village website, and we didn't really get any response until I put it on some of the Facebook pages. So
yeah, I think Facebook groups are a really good way, but I mean, it's a good way, but if there's a way to link it to larger information, because there's a lot of information. I mean, I'm still trying to catch up with all the information that you guys know. And it's hard to get that amount of information out, you know, certainly, you know, in these small tidbits that we have.
Right.
Yeah, I do agree. I agree that, I mean, we do. I know, Eric, thank you. I know that recently you looked and realized that somewhere on the website we had lost a lot of information that had been there regarding solar. So we do have, to your point, understanding, like, we do have an editorial calendar now, which is great. We do use Facebook and Instagram this year, I think more than we ever have, which is good. Our website, I know that Julie and Sue Crothers before, a year and a half ago, kind of updated it. I know that I went in and updated my programs earlier this year, but that's a lot to put on us on top of, kind of, again, we're a very hardworking board, So to your point, maybe you're taking a step back and saying, how do we effectively communicate? It's marketing, but I'd rather just say, like, how do we effectively communicate, educate, and evangelize amongst the folks that live in our town about all of the different, the myriad of programs that we have, you know, how they can come to us for support, et cetera. It can't just be a website. It just can't be a newsletter. It can't just be Instagram. It just can't be Facebook. It has to be all of that. And I know initially, Carrie, I was like, oh my gosh, my initial react was we can't leave the, we can't, I'm sure we won't be able to separate from the village website, but perhaps that's, that initial reaction was wrong. And it is something to potentially kind of look to see how do we, you know, kind of help to ensure that, you know, kind of we're optimizing outreach. And also thinking about the next generation, which isn't on, quite frankly, unfortunately, I agree with Eric, they're like, as a marketer, they're not on Facebook. And we also have to make sure that we're not marketing to the vocal minority. Because there, the folks that are on these channels tend to be the ones that are very active on the channels, but there's a whole host of folks that aren't active on those channels. So how do we get to them too? So, I thank you. It is now, let me see, what time is it? I have to look at my, it is 8:21. What I've heard loud and clear, and I can certainly take the next, turning it into a budget format, it'll be over multiple years. The first thing that comes to mind for me is $25,000 a year. Sounds about right. We'll get 3 years out of the 2 years worth of funding. And then let's see if we can kind of map out a budget format. And I also want to maybe get some feedback from Kathy and from some of the trustees to see like kind of what they think are kind of some of the key issues. Because I do like that, like, if we could subsidize something, like, we know that water's a problem with rain gardens, that might be a good thing. I do like the whole, how do we've done a lot of work this year, again, with the communications, if we think about our plan, we think about our editorial calendar, if we think about everything, but it's, quite frankly, it's a lot of work. And so it would be perhaps getting someone, figuring out a way to make it easier would be the next thing to do.
Hey, John and Lisa, do we still have a board sponsor?
Did we ever have a board sponsor? We did.
Yeah, we did.
I didn't know.
Oh, the trustee that's.
Yeah, trustee that's like our.
Right.
Sponsor and liaison. I mean, I would assume Katie would want to do it, but I didn't know if there was an official.
Yeah, I think it is Katie now. It used to be Tom Cargi.
Yeah, that's right. It was Tom.
Yeah.
Can we find out, would John, is that something you can find out who it is? I never knew we had one.
Yeah. So like the theory, Lisa, is like that would be the person we would collaborate with in order to, you know, right, present anything to the board.
Oh, that's the magic of this.
Right. Totally. A lot of things get lost in translation around here.
Definitely. Definitely.
Thanks for bringing that up, Eric. Yeah. That's the original intent.
Yeah, John, if you could let me know, that would be great.
Yeah, I'll confirm. I think it's Katie now, but I'll confirm that.
Okay. Thanks, Eric. All right. Any other thoughts, comments?
Thanks for herding the cats on this, Lisa.
Big time, big time.
I will actually update this, and I'll keep it out on. I'll put it out on Google Drive. I mean, like I try to kind of keep everything out there. The editorial calendar's out there. The updated sustainability plan is up there, reflecting kind of who's on the board now. If anybody wants to does anybody want to be a thinking partner on this? Does anybody have time?
I do.
Okay. All right. Well, when I'm back, I'm going to be back in New York. I'll be back in Chicago next week, next Monday or Tuesday. Okay. So I'll be in the same time zone with everybody and we can go from there.
It's been sunny and 80 every day here, Lisa. So.
And can I just tell you, it's like 30 degrees and rainy here.
Oh, yeah. No, that doesn't happen here anymore.
Yeah. Again, well, it's, you know, they do say Chicago is going to become the next New Orleans in terms of weather, that is.
Sadly, that is true.
I know. But I will tell you, and I'll send pictures, because I'm from New York, right? I forgot what fall foliage really looks like.
Yeah, the Northeast is the real deal.
We don't have it in Chicago.
No.
So I'll send some pictures. It's been pretty spectacular on that front. So anyway, do I have a motion to be, are we done? It is now 9:25. We're going to keep to 90 minutes once a month.
8:25.
Oh, excuse me, 8:25. It's 9:25. Okay, do we have I need a motion to end the meeting.
Motion to end the meeting.
I'll second.
Say aye.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Bye, everyone. Great seeing everyone.
Bye.